I come today, Lori and I were at the Christian church, of course, and that today was our last Sunday there, and so it was a little bit of a, not emotional, but kind of emotional, kind of a sad, you know, because we've developed a relationship with those folks over there. But our text today is going to be in Romans 6, verses 15 and 16. Don't turn there, we're not going to talk about that yet, but what I wanted to do, I'm just going to tell you out front, is we're going to talk about that text, we're going to read it a couple of times, but we're not going to really dwell on that. We're going to talk to you about the gospel wheel today, and if you don't know what that is, you'll find out, because it's a wanna, and for all of you wanna leaders, you probably know what the gospel wheel is. But so in preparation for hearing the gospel today, what Jesus has done for us, we're going to read Jeremiah 17, verses 7 through 10. It says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream. It will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green. And it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. The heart is more deceitful than all else, and is desperately wicked. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds." Lord, I just thank you for this time today that we are here to worship you. And we do pray that your word will go out clear. The plan of salvation will be clear in each mind. Lord, I pray that also as we are here today and as we sing worship songs and as we give tithes and offerings, I pray that you will accept our worship as pure and lovely. Amen. Christian Church wanted to express their gratitude to all of you for sharing your pastor. So I just thought I'd tell you that, because they are grateful. We have some new people here, so this all happened 2 years and 2 months ago. Pastor Fritz Zimmelman passed away a year before that, and he was sick for about a year before that, and so that's what the story is for me being their interim pastor. So the job of an interim pastor is to make the break between what was and what is to come. And that's what I believe that I've done in the last two and almost 3 years now. So some of you know that I have been, for the last 5 years, maybe 6 years, trying to make a transition from the Bible that I have used for years and years and years, that's well-worn, it's been recovered at least once, the New International Version that's well marked, and I know exactly where everything is in it, and it's hard to make a transition, but I decided 5 or 6 years ago that I need to make a transition to the New American Standard Bible. This is supposed to be the most accurate version, word for word, and so that's what I've been doing. And so some of these, and I started actually preaching from the New American Standard Bible a month or two ago, but I need to tell you something. Today, some of the verses are going to be from there, but when we get to the gospel wheel, those will be the NIV, which is what we use in the Awana program, so that our Awana kids should be able to keep up, I think, with the text. Are you choosing death or are you choosing righteousness? That's the text today. Let's read it. Romans 6, 15 through 16. And if you have your Bibles, I would ask you to, when I get done reading this, to look at verse 1 of chapter 6. It's interesting that sometimes When Paul especially says something more than once in the same chapter, you better pay attention. right? Romans 6, starting with verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? May it never be. What's the law? Well, the law is the one that condemns. The law condemns us of our sin, and grace is the one that extends mercy. So which one are you going to be obedient to? That's the question today. Let's read verse 16. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? You are slaves of the one you obey. And today we're talking about either slaves of sin or slaves of righteousness. Which one are you going to obey? Either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness. I have a story that Ken Davis has said. Who knows Ken Davis? Somebody raise your hand if you've ever heard him speak. Okay, many of you have. He's a Christian comedian. He's probably been speaking for 30 or more years. He's a comedian. So therefore, I need to tell you that this story may not be true. It's so far-fetched. So I'm just going to read it here. Ken Davis tells of a story of a lady who looked out her kitchen window and saw their German shepherd shaking her neighbor's rabbit. She was horrified. She grabbed a broom and ran outside and proceeded to hit the dog until he let go of the rabbit. She looked down at the rabbit, who was just laying there, dirty and covered with dog spit. They had problems with their neighbors, and this was not going to help the situation at all. She scooped up the rabbit with the broom and brought it to the house and dumped it into the bathtub. She looked at the rabbit, not knowing where to start. She turned on the shower and washed the rabbit, and then turned it over and washed the other side. She gently picked up the rabbit and let it drip dry for a moment, and then took a towel to dry it. The lady then took her hair dryer and dried the rabbit, fluffing up the fur to make it as natural as possible. She watched out the window, and when she saw her neighbor leave, she grabbed the dead rabbit and ran over to the rabbit hutch and propped it up inside. She looked at it and thought, yeah, that looks good. About an hour later, the neighbor came home, and about an hour after that, she heard a scream coming from the neighbor's house. She ran outside to the neighbor who was standing by the rabbit hutch and asked what was wrong. And the neighbor said, you're not going to believe this, but this rabbit died about a week ago, and we buried it in the backyard, and now it's in the rabbit hutch. I'm not sure if it's true, but Ken Davis, obviously, we have talked a lot in the last couple of weeks about identifying with Jesus in his death. And it's not until we identify with Jesus in his death that we understand the power of his resurrection. So we need to understand all of that. Imagine with me for a moment. What kind of power it must take to resurrect somebody from the dead? Dr. Jonathan, can you do that? We can't do that, can we? When somebody is dead, all body functions gone, the brain, no brain activity, but God, the one who created everything. The one who created the planets and the universe and the earth and the water and the fish and the birds and the air and the animals and the bugs and the mountains and the valleys and us. He breathed life into Adam. He has the power to resurrect from the dead. And so you see, when we identify with Jesus in his death and we die to our sin, we identify with that death and we also identify with him in his resurrection and the power of that resurrection. So many times people, Christians,
prefer to live in sin. And we have lived in sin so long, and we've lived the lie so long, that we actually believe it to be true. And we say something like, well, I'm not so bad. In fact, I'm pretty good. That little lie I told, that's not that bad. Or that little gossip over here. And so they wash themselves off and they blow dry their hair and they go out into public like nothing has happened. And they're living in sin and in death. So today I am going to deviate from our text, which is in Romans 6, verses 15 and 16. And I'm going to talk about the gospel wheel. Because I think that we need to know what our need is and what God's provision for us and His love. So we have the gospel wheel, and the very center of that wheel explains the purpose and the reason for Jesus coming to earth, God Himself coming to earth and dying for us. What's the reason? Well, we find that out in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 through 4, it says, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to what? According to the Scriptures. See, everything that we, if we develop a philosophy of life, it needs to be founded in the Bible, and it needs to be founded in what God says is true. And so everything that we talk about here is founded in the Scriptures. And then verse 4, and that He was buried, and that He was raised again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Jesus came to us, and He died, and He was buried, and He was raised again on the third day. It's not in your notes, but Romans 10, 9 and 10 says something like this: if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you confess that He is what? He died and He was raised again on the third day, you will be saved. That's our premise. That's our core belief. So the next thing on the on our wanna circle. It's not our wanna circle, it's the gospel wheel. Is our character. And on the bottom is our character, man's character, and on the top is God's character. Well, what's our character? Sinful. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short. You guys are brilliant. Christy and I were talking about this the other night, and I was explaining how I explain to children about this verse, falling short of the glory of God. If I was in a race, who can I pick on today? Rob Koskin. I've seen you run. You're pretty quick. If you and I were running a race, you would probably win. And that would mean that I would fall short of the finish line, right? And Christy says, well, you know what Awana teaches? That if I threw a rock at the moon, would I hit it? No. Of course not. Anna, would you hit it? You would probably come shorter than me. But the fact is, I would fall short and you would fall short and everybody in this room falls short of hitting the moon with a rock. And so we are sinners and we fall short of the glory of God. And in Romans 6:23, of course, is for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Our character is pretty pitiful. Isn't it? Is there hope for us? Some are going yes, and some are going no. It's kind of a trick question. There is no hope that we can do of our own self, but our hope falls in Jesus Christ. So what's God's character like? Revelation 4:8b. holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. See, God is not created. He always was, and He is, and He always will be. You see, 1 second from now was the future, and He was already there, and He was already there, and He was already there. Holy, holy, holy. How on earth, or maybe why, would a holy God accept sinful people into His heaven? Because we are desperately wicked, the Bible says. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." And so that act of love demands a response. So what's man's response? Acts 16:31. "And they replied, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household.'" Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we need to preface that because, you know what? We can't take just one scripture verse and say that that's my philosophy of my life. We need to take the whole scriptures. And in James says that faith without works is dead. And we already mentioned Romans 10, 9 and 10, that says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus was dead and is now alive, so it's more than just belief, more than just faith. He wants all of us. He wants our heart and our whole body. What's God's response? I love this verse, by the way, Romans 5:8. "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, He died for us." So many people say, "Well, I can't become a Christian because God would never accept me. I'm too horrible. I've done so many bad things, and I continue to do bad things." But Jesus says, you don't have to be good enough, because I died for you even while you were still sinning. And if you look back at the cross, Jesus died for the soldiers, and He died for the person on His right and the person on His left. And He told one of those people that, "Today you will be with Me in paradise." Yeah. You don't have to be good enough, do you? So our text, Romans 6:15-16. "What then? Shall we sin because you are not under law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to the one in whom you obey?" Either of sin resulting in what? Death. Or an obedience resulting in righteousness. So the question today for you, the question is, which one are you a slave to? Are you a slave to sin, which goes against everything that God has said in rebellion against Him? Or are you a slave to righteousness? Are you a slave? Are you obeying your sinful nature, all the desire, the sinful lusts of your desires, of your humanly flesh? Or are you slave and obedient to God, resulting in righteousness? That's the question that we need to ask ourselves. Amen. So how do you close that message? That's pretty easy, actually. Ephesians 2:8-9. "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen. Take this home. Think about it. And if you have never said yes to Jesus, I would love to talk to you.